Welcome, everybody, to another live recording of the Business Travel 360 Linking the Travel Industry podcast, where we discuss travel industry news you're talking about on LinkedIn. My name is Rian, and I'm one of your hosts today. I am the CEO at Agentivity, where we have a vision that any TMC should be data empowered. You can read about just how we make that possible at agentivity.com.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Anne. I'm a consultant with LeapShift. Happy to help you with anything in retailing, NDC, one order, and distribution. In addition, I also work as an instructor, both with IATA and Aeroclass.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ash, and I'm the host of a weekly business travel podcast called What's Up in Business Travel, where we give you only the important updates in under 15 minutes. Also, I'm the vice president at Traxo, and this is Linking the Travel Industry.
So, Ash, the time changed, right? So you're now an hour later.
Yes, I'm a little bit perkier than normal for some reason.
Oh, dear me.
I know. It's going to be a difficult day, I think. I'll try to keep in control here.
That's okay. Last week was week 10, and first story on my list, Ash, is for you to comment on from your part of the world. I don't think this was unexpected, but the JetBlue-Spirit Airlines merger is officially not going to happen. Not a surprise, but what do you think is the impact on those two airlines, this news?
Everybody thought it was going to happen when it first got announced. And of course, now we know it's not going to happen. And each airline is kind of going back to their corner, trying to figure out what their next steps are. I think the future for JetBlue is much clearer than for Spirit. JetBlue, of course, has a new CEO. They have a lot of new investment coming in from a lot of different places. So I think that JetBlue will continue on with Spirit. It might be a little bit of a wait and see scenario. And of course, I think that they might be looking for a partner or they'll have other issues. So I think that's kind of where we are. I'm more excited for JetBlue on this, actually, than Spirit. I never really understood the merger, Rian. Like for me, from a branding perspective, from a product perspective, the two didn't quite fit culture-wise. I think that we'll see. I think JetBlue is going to start making some moves that is going to be favorable to them. With Spirit, I'm not so sure.
And they have a new CEO at the helm as well, JetBlue, don't they?
Yes, that's so right. Yep. And a lot of investment coming in from some very, very unique scenarios and such people. So it's quite interesting.
And you've said this before quite a few times. I mean, the merger needs to make sense for both parties. Both parties need to be on the same page. And these two are definitely not there. So
yeah, the products are just so different. Like it's not even, I mean, JetBlue is trying to become they have the Mint product. They're trying to be, you know, cater to premium market, transatlantic market, and Spirit is just, you know, if you want to be miserable, you fly Spirit. The two are not even close in my book.
Next story is about some massive fundraising, and I'd love to know whether you've heard of these guys, Mews, M-E-W-S. What they say in short, they're a cloud solution for hoteliers, so basically a cloud solution for hotel.
I haven't really heard of them. I read the article you published, and I mean, that sounds like a really great step forward, right?
We didn't mention the amount, but they've managed to raise 101 million euros in funding. That's not small change, right? That's massive amounts of investment. Personally, for me, it's just great to see that level of confidence is there in our industry, and hats off to Mews for obviously doing that. They are new to me as well. I haven't heard of them before, and I suspect now probably will hear a bit about them going forward.
An impressive investor there in Chinavi, powerful company there behind them. Yeah.
Last time you talked about this, you said, maybe somebody dusted off a story from the PR and said, what have we done about this project? But as we talked about that, another company has announced progress with adding virtual card payments to their solution. And that's the relationship between American Express, the card company, and American Express Global Business Travel. And they've added virtual card payments more now into their Neo One platform, which is aimed at the smaller to medium enterprise. So definite development here, Ash, or what do you think?
Personally, I think that this should have been done maybe 10 years ago. The fact that it's being done now clearly signals to me that somebody saw the other movement in virtual card payments and said, oh, we have American Express. We have a product. Why don't we connect the dots? And so they did it. But this has probably been sitting on the shelf collecting dust for a long time. And what do you think about it? Do you agree?
Yeah. Only now kind of comment on that. You know, sort of it baffles you that they haven't done this before. Like you said, you know, 5 years ago, really.
It's still a good development, though. I would agree, though, with both of you. This is way overdue. So
any development, Rian, on virtual card that integrates into a process to make the traveler, you know, usage of virtual card easier, better, simpler is always welcome. The question is not whether we need this. We definitely need more of this. I think that our industry has been kind of ignoring this need for a long time. And it kind of circles back to, does the end consumer really understand virtual card in the general public? Most people, at least in North America, don't quite understand virtual cards like maybe they do in other parts of the world. But I think that this is definitely something that's needed. And I think this is the right move.
There were major airline order announcements and major airline investments. The second to biggest one was American Airlines' announcement about their plane order. Bit of a mix there, three types of planes they're ordering. The third type raised the questions by Maria Weber. She was posting about the choice there that American Airlines made with the older generation aircraft they were ordering. Ash, did you read those? And I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on, especially that issue about the older airplane.
The thing about this topic is that I know we want to talk about sustainability, right? I think that's the whole point, that when they're questioning the plane that American Airlines is picking in, it's okay to question sustainability, right? It's okay to not be excited about it, or it's even okay to make a decision that's not in favor of sustainability. You can't always make the perfect sustainability decision. So I get that this is a question, why are they picking it? Of course, they're picking it because it's probably the right aircraft for them and it makes sense. They're from a cost perspective. It just doesn't make sense in the sustainability column. And so I think that when you're ordering, 200 plus aircrafts, I think it is, it's okay to have some of them not be perfect.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you, surprise, surprise, on this, because it's a substantial change. I mean, this airplane that they've chosen, previous version, the E2 of this Embraer type, is substantially old, and it burns 20% more fuel. 20% is substantial. Anne, what are your thoughts?
20% is substantial. Yes, that's really what I noticed as well. Of course, I agree with Maria Weber on some of her points there.
But let me just add one last comment to that, right? Then if American Airlines is buying it, someone is making it, right?
Yeah.
So why are the manufacturers still making it? I mean, you know, we're pointing the finger at American. Let's point the finger in the right place. Yeah. Like, why do they make it? They make it and they put it on the shelf. Someone's going to buy it.
Yeah, I agree.
It was a massive, massive announcement by British Airways. This was, you know, really tense, this announcement. And if you don't follow him, you should do. Rob Burgess, editor at Head for Points, he did a brilliant post about this. But there was a stack of announcements there, including things like you're going to be able to do free, they suspect it's going to be WhatsApp messaging, even your shorter, you know, journeys. They've got a new seat in the short haul, which is, you know, looks great, I have to say. It looks very nice. There's a ton of AI stuff. There's some new lounges coming. Lots of stuff, new first class on the A380. In total, £7 billion worth of investment in the airline. I saw some subsequent posts and where a lot of guys were saying, oh, yeah, about time, way overdue kind of thing. This is, though, great news for British Airways. They much needed sort of fresh investment in the business, right, Anne?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I follow so many of these BA chat forums and frequent flyer forums, and definitely needed. But again, I really hope that they improve on the technology side, and I really hope that they will invest there. I also see a lot of complaints about, you know, changes on customer experience, the UX. It's just horrendous. So I hope that they make a technology stack upgrade as well.
Yeah, my comment was around, I hope they're also doing this invest in their staffing regards to attitude towards customers, that sort of stuff. But you're right. Any comments there, Ash?
Just add that I think they're trying to get away from the customer service experience. So they're talking about the technology will be so great that you don't need to call customer service, right? That they've already confirmed that really is bad. Therefore, we want to try to get people away from that process. Hey, in today's world, I think that's what people want, so it's fine. But I don't think customer care is their main point of improving here. But I'm excited to see all the other stuff. I mean, the other stuff looks great. 2 years is kind of a long time.
There was huge news last week, towards the end of last week, that Ryanair teamed up with Kite to basically offer access to the inventory to the corporate travel space through an API, I believe, developed by Kite. And I'm delighted that Alice, CEO at Kite, can join us and step out of your very important meetings there, Alice. We really appreciate that. How is this news going down for you?
Thank you so much for having me. Yes, you catch me on en route back in Jeddah here in Saudi Arabia. We are really excited about this opportunity with Ryanair. You know, Ryanair has realized and already knew how important their content is, not only for the leisure world, but also for in the corporate space, mainly because of their frequencies, because of their coverage, especially, obviously in Europe. There are certain routes that only Ryanair covers, and they're also the dominant carrier in many countries. Having developed their distribution strategy over the last 3 or 4 months, where they were sort of, they're in the process of selecting partners that they want to work with that can offer Ryanair more control over how they distribute their flights. They have chosen to work with us to essentially connect to, you know, a myriad of travel agencies and travel partners that can help them cater for all these business travelers that ultimately need Ryanair's flights. And Ryanair is very happy to serve that type of customer segment.
I have a few questions. I might get a little bit technical if that's okay, but this is an API that you at Kite have developed for Ryanair. Is that correct?
Well, not really. So they are using the Kite standardized API. We are connected to Ryanair using our own Kite platform, and all travel sellers would be using Kite's API to connect to Ryanair.
Okay, good. And then I suspect there's a fairly long queue outside your front door now for people wanting access to that API.
We're very happy about that. But yes, indeed, we're very excited about how welcoming this news has been amongst the travel agency community.
Indeed. I suspect Clive Rutton has also been on the phone to you. I'm quite sure he's been asking for some time.
He hasn't got in touch yet, but he knows me.
Congratulations, Alice. This is so well deserved. I wanted to say that this is the NDC API, right?
No. So at the moment, they're using the Kite API. Just for some context, Kite is built on the foundation of NDC, but it has some modernized functionalities that allows enough flexibility to accommodate for low cost and NDC in the same platform. Customers, travel agents connecting to us only have to do one integration, whether it's EasyJet or Ryanair or whether it's British Airways, Air Canada, etc.
As you know, I get a bit irritated about the sort of NDC discussions because it's actually not really relevant. And so I think what Alice is demonstrating here is it's the API that is relevant, right? And it can be neutralized, and it's absolutely brilliant. And I think that needs to be expressed or come out in the open, etc., and explain these things.
110%. And this is the perfect example of where it doesn't actually matter. It is about what's delivered. And that's, you know, really, really good. Alice, amongst those people knocking at your door, are any of them GDSs?
I won't answer that question, but just to leave you with the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, excellent. Well, look, Alice, I mean, for us, this is news of the year. If really exciting times. You know, we've been joking about Ryanair. You know, there's an announcement every week about their chosen partners, etc. But this one is the big one. And it's such an exciting time for you, and all that hard work that you guys have put in there has paid off. So again, congratulations from our side. And I suspect we'll be talking to you a bit more, and there'll be more developments here. So
absolutely. You know, this partnership has just started. It will be interesting to see how it falls and how our content compares to the GDSs or others.
Well done, Alice. And thank you for giving us your time, and especially, you know, stepping out of meetings to join us.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, speaking of things that are also very successful and that worked out, remember, guys, we talked about this. We actually had Gus on the show sometime last year from Alaskan Airlines. When they announced this thing, the electronic bag tags, we were all quite impressed by it. And as it turns out, so do the travelers. They love it. They had a post, Alaska Airlines, where they said their web shop sold out in 12 hours, you know, where they were selling this electronic bag tag. And so great success story there all around. Ash, have you got yours already?
I think they only made it available to certain people in the beginning, like their premium people and the people who had miles and status with them. I don't think it was like Matt. No, not with Alaska. As you just mentioned, right, when we first learned about this product, it was quite fascinating at that time. And I think that this is confirmation that these guys actually did a really good job of promoting it and making sure that people have something like this available to them.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to have one of these, even if not flying Alaska. I think it would just be so cool to have. Right, Anne?
Absolutely. I would just want to say to all those out there on LinkedIn always commenting on, you know, there is no such thing as airline retailing, it doesn't exist, you can't sell products, blah 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 blah. Of course you can sell product, and this is the type, one of the products that the customers are looking for, and they love it. Well, of course it's Gus's project. I'm so happy for them. I'm so happy for Alaska. It's great.
But keep in mind that this requires you to print your own luggage tag at home.
That's the fun part.
All right, just making clear.
What an opportunity for a TMC to add some extra value and print that for you. Just think about all of that. I see we've got Jasper. I'm delighted that he did raise his hand in the end. So I was asking him if he wanted to do that. Jasper, I believe you guys are the manufacturers of this electronic bag tag for Alaska. Is that correct?
Yes, we are. Amongst other airlines. Bagtag, we're a Dutch company. As you can imagine, it took quite a little bit of time to nail both the hardware and the software, as well as the connectivity to the airlines. But we were lucky enough to indeed work with Gus Norden and his team. About a year and a half ago, we launched a pilot program with them. where a couple thousand of their top-tier frequent flyers were given a BackTech device and started using it across the network with great success. And indeed, 2 weeks ago, we opened up a limited batch to their frequent flyers. We already had high hopes, of course, but it went much better and quicker than anticipated. So we sold out in 12 hours. I've already mentioned it. Alaska is one of the airlines that we're working with. I think that this news will kickstart a lot of the adoption across different carriers. But there's also 14 other airlines that are also connected to our platform where you can also use all the electronic BackTechs that are connected to us.
They're not shouting about it from the rooftops. They should be. But like you say, maybe they will do now. So congratulations, though. Very successful product there. Yeah, we know Gus. He was on the show some time ago and he's got great vision there for Alaska. So I'm not surprised they went with it.
Yeah, Gus is amazing. And I truly believe in Alaska's vision. And I think that I don't want to sell any of the other airlines that we work with short, but I think that that's really what they excel at. So what you see at Alaska is they have a vision for a 5-minute lobby experience, and they're really putting their weight behind it. And this is only one of the initiatives that they're introducing to help and support that vision. But the fact that it's part of a bigger story, part of a vision, I think that's really something that travelers will buy into.
Well, Jasper, thank you very much for joining us, and thanks for being on the show. So good luck with those 13 other airlines. I just want to take a few moments to turn to the audience and say thank you so much for giving us your time on a Monday, despite the time zone change for those coming in from the States. It's great to see some familiar faces and also some new ones. So very nice to see you, and thank you for giving us your time. The purpose of this event mainly is to make sure that as many of us are connected to one another as possible. So if you haven't gone through the list of people in the audience, please do so and see if you can reach out and connect to as many of them as possible, and return the favor, accept that connection request. Each week we also pick on someone to be our link of the week. And just because you came in first, but also because you have a great profile there, Kenneth, I'm going to make Kenneth Chung our link of the week. Thank you for being on the show. I see you are open to work. So again, great opportunity to connect to more people. And for those in the audience, please accept that request from Kenneth to be connected to him. Kenneth, thank you for joining us, and for the others for giving us your time as well. We really do appreciate it. Okay, so back to my list of stories. Yes, there was shocking news out of the UK in the budget that came out that the air passenger duty was going to increase for premier passengers, a move really not well received by the business travel community. And there's been quite a few posts about that. And I don't know if you have a comment on this one. There's not much we can say, right? It's been done.
Really anything we can say. But it's interesting that the UK has the highest in the world, right?
Yes.
I think that's, yeah, it was quite shocking.
I know you saw this post by Maria Weber. I mean, she's in our news twice this week. She did this post about Austrian Airlines cancelling 150 flights last Friday as she calls it, for no good reason, resulting in a cost of 5 million euros in compensation payouts alone. And there was a lot of reasons behind it, but it just seems archaic. This is just a bad way to run your airline.
You know, I gave kudos there to Maria for posting and talking about this, because I try to raise this topic very frequently about the lack of modernization of processes within the airlines. You know, it's not just the lack of modernizing technology. It's actually the processes. I mean, I went in and looked at some stuff as an airline some time ago, and, you know, I could clearly see that these processes were like 15, 20 years old. You know, staggering money. There's just so much. And I really like she, you know, mentions the payouts that they had to make because of this. And they just don't look into cost-saving opportunities. So many of them. It's really sad. I bet you all the money I've got that Ryanair definitely do. There are many airlines that don't.
The other really big news story of the week was the news that the founding partner at Festive Road, Paul Tillstone, he is going to leave the company to form his own business that's going to focus on supplier side consulting. That post by them generated a huge amount of discussion and comments, and obviously people wishing Paul very well. We do as well.
I'm also congratulating them. I think it's probably a very wise choice to separate it.
Yes.
Because it must be very difficult to sort of do both sides. It can be at the, you know, same time. So I think it's a good move, yeah.
For those who don't know them, Fox World Travel in the US, they did a post, and it was amazing to see this post. I wasn't aware of these numbers. They did a post to make us more aware of the actual statistics behind human trafficking and what to do when you observe typical telltale signs of people in flights, people on buses, etc. Really good call story. Apparently more than 26 million people globally are affected by human trafficking, which is a number that really shocked me. So I just wanted to say hats off to Fox World Travel for doing that that post and for making us more aware of it. It's a great story. And we should all be reading that and making sure we know about these telltale signs behind human trafficking. Just thought that was such a good story. It's worth mentioning. Okay, so is that us? Are we wrapped up?
I think we're wrapped.
Thank you for those in the audience giving us your time. Alice, thank you so much for stepping out of your very busy meetings there and joining us. But congratulations once again. And to the others who gave us the comments, Jasper, thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. And of course, a special shout out. Thank you, Alice. Thank you, Jasper. And thank you, Kenneth, for being our link of the week.
Thank you for joining today's live recording of Linking the Travel Industry. We record the podcast every week on Monday, and it is all about linking the travel industry. Please do share this event with others that you know. Chances are high that if you enjoyed today's session, others that you know will as well. And if you cannot make it because of time zone or availability, the session is available as a podcast on businesstravel360.com. This is Linking the Travel Industry, signing off.